Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Well, hello and welcome. Devin and Morgana here, broadcasting from bed. And I can tell from the expression on Devin's face that he hates this.
Yeah, no, I want to be in a chair.
And I love being in bed. I feel it has a real John Lennon, Yoko Ono, give peace a chance bed and vibe to it, which I love.
I would like a chair. I'd be like sitting at a table, which I'm still doing. I'm not sitting in a chair, but I'm sitting up. It's that whole John and Yoko thing is weird
and
creepy and,
oh, stop.
And strange. Oh. But I'm glad you're happy.
Yes, we're doing it because I wanted to.
Well, so that is exactly right. That's what relationships are about. And I'm Devin Galladay. I'm a relation coach and a relationship coach and the editor-in-chief of In the No Traveler. And what else? So, yeah, you know, one of the things that we haven't done, and I'm going to have my wife introduce herself in just a moment. But one of the things that we haven't talked about, which makes the crazy, sexy part of crazy, sexy midlife love to me important and relevant, is that we travel all the time. And so, you know, I totally get the COVID thing, but I want to talk about some travel. We've done this. We've waited long enough. So, that's what I'm hoping.
I think that's wonderful. My name is Morgana Ray. I have been a best-selling author and mentor coach for now over 26 years this month. And I have been best known for coaching relationship with money as if money were a love relationship, like a human being that you could be passionately in love with and loved by. But really, my favorite topic is love. So that's why we created a radio show about love. And I've been coaching people on human relationships forever, too. But for this, I really wanted to do the show with my husband because he's my favorite person in the world.
And I'm a lucky guy.
I love you. So, Devin, talk to us about travel.
Wow, that is a smooth, a smooth transition. I don't know how to leap off of that. In a nutshell, everybody knows that we're sort of in the middle of this COVID virus thing. I do know people who are, in fact, traveling, but there's a whole lot of rules around it. And certainly, I think going to Asia and Europe at this point is actually a more challenge for Americans. I mean, I think the word I'm getting, and for the record, I probably receive news items from around the world, from the tourism boards and CVBs of major cities all around the world. You know, I probably get several hundred every single day. You know, I try to spot check the stuff that seems to be particularly interesting. Most places are looking forward to opening their doors and being in business, and they want everybody to know that they are, they've developed teams to keep people safe. And all of that, and the vast majority, in their own words, is that we're really not quite there yet. Could you travel? I suppose you could, but I guess I just didn't want to lose sight of being able to talk about travel. Like for me, one of the things that keeps me going in this sort of lockdown kind of environment is that at some point the world will open up. And when it does, I want to be able to go. And you know what I mean? I want to have street food in Malaysia. Matter of fact, I want to talk about Malaysia My wife hasn't been there. It is one of the more remarkable, interesting countries in the world. And I had really sort of my last major trip was to Kuala Lumpur, where I spent about a week. And then I spent a few nights in Malacca. And Kuala Lumpur is a really incredible city from the standpoint, like if you're in the middle of it, and I've obviously segued without even knowing it. If you're in the middle of the city, it's sort of like, it's like Las Vegas. It is wall-to-wall graphic displays and fantastic malls of expensive, fancy, ridiculous stores. And then if you walk three blocks away, you are in traditional Malaysia. And it is a bustling, interesting city, and the traffic, like most major Asian cities, is terrible. It's just sort of like the sensibility of the way people drive and do that. But there's just far less, you know, I think everything is much more a gray area. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of more of a Buddhist sense, Eastern sensibility. And it's not only that, but it's also the Islamic Muslim country. The food is fantastic, but you can expect really spicy food. And incredible sights throughout, and the people are incredibly friendly. And, you know, getting back to Kuala Lumpur, like, you know, again, this isn't the week to go, for sure. This isn't the time to go. But I would probably go sooner than later if you were interested in a place like Malaysia, because it is off the beaten path.
Well, you know, the news that just came out this week is that Americans may not be welcome to travel in Europe. And that's a really big, unfamiliar experience, which makes me really, really grateful for all the travel that we've had to Europe, all the weddings that we had last year. Like, I'm just dreaming all the time about Lisbon, Portugal, and Seville, Spain. And it really drives home my belief, going back to when I was hit by a car when I was 16 years old and almost died, that we have no idea what's going to happen. And that's so clear right now with COVID and needing to be careful and just world circumstances changing so quickly, that don't put things off. You know, just say yes to life, and when opportunities are in front of you, go for it. Again, this week is not the time. This is right now and for months to come. Be safe, outlive this, so that you can just live your dream life and travel everywhere you want to go. But this, like everything going on right now, is just makes me really, really grateful that we didn't wait.
So it seems we're having some sort of a technical difficulty. So I'm not sure if you guys heard what was happening on.
It's odd because we're right by the modem here.
Yeah. So what I was going to say is that if you can travel, please do. I guess
yeah,
all
it's
is
yeah,
good.
Yeah, everything's good. Everybody can hear.
Doug, our super deluxe engineer. Here at BBS Radio is on top of things. No hiccups, we are assured.
So, right.
We were just getting some weird, you know, weird noise on our end that I thought might be something of concern.
Okay, so for today's show, what I thought we might do is talk about a wedding. We've already talked about some travel. Talk about love, especially how to add fun and connection to your love life. We have our top five tips. And this week, this is something we're starting. Woo! Top five tips. This week, it's going to be top five tips for renewing your wedding vows. And as always, this is a conversation. And if you are listening and you want to call in and talk about your love life or your travel experiences, or you have some questions about relationship or travel or destination weddings, or you want to say hi, give us a call. Lines are open at 888-627-6008.
Oh, and just a heads up, I have had the good fortune to have visited 86 countries around the world. And, you know, I do get a lot of insider scoop about different countries and what's happening within them. Obviously, to go into that, we could be here for days. But, you know, if you do have some particular interest or a question about a place, there's a, I think, a fair chance that I've been there and might have some insight about it. And, you know, that I got to say, travel brings a smile to my face, even though we're not traveling. I think just the prospect of knowing that sort of like the world will be waiting for us when it is time to go.
Well, and for some context, one of the reasons we're talking about travel is Devin and I are in the middle of getting married 100 times in 100 countries. And so far, we've been married 25 times in the last 6 years. And it's fun. And renewing vows is amazing. It's good for the relationship. It's like stopping time and space and just carving this magical moment to recommit. And in my experience, every time we do it, it's deeper than the first time. The first time I felt like I was just guessing at what marriage meant because I didn't know. And with every round, we know each other better and it means something a little more to me. So by all means, we encourage you, steal this. This is Devin's idea of 100%, the getting married around the world. We love it. We think it's a great idea for anybody else to just keep that love and fun going, especially if you like to travel. And even if you don't, even if you're home like we are in captivity, and by the way, it's really fun to be in captivity with somebody you adore, you know, renew your vows wherever you are, in my humble opinion. So,
well, I would also say more than that, is that there is, you know, most every country is set up to do some kind of a destination wedding ceremony or a vow renewal or something like that. And even like really professional ones are by comparison far cheaper almost anywhere else in the world than they are, you know, at home. I mean, I think I remember seeing just recently that an average wedding in the United States costs something like $40,000 or $50,000, like, because it's just very, very expensive. It's kind of crazy. It makes
and
no
that's
sense.
If you're not in Los Angeles or New York or
right. It's just
cities,
it just costs a huge sum of money. And the way we tend to do it, like I'm very comfortable asking the woman behind the counter at the hotel to just, hey, would you read the script and marry us? Because at the end of the day, it's sort of like a fun. That part is fun. And we have a great time with it. And it makes sort of a memory. Like, we got married in...
Let's talk about Montenegro. Talk about the woman behind the desk.
Right. So in Montenegro, first off, is a tiny town kind of next to Bosnia and next to Croatia and I think Albania. I mean, it's just sort of on that Adriatic side that's directly across from Italy. And it has the where we went to the city of Kotor, Kotor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. It is the only fjords in Europe or in Western Europe. All the fjords are in, you know, in Norway and in Scandinavia.
So this is more what was it? The Adriatic? Is that what the area is called?
Correct.
Right.
And so it is. It's just a beautiful, really, it's a stunning drive from Croatia, which we ended up taking a bus to Kotor.
Because we're both afraid of heights and driving in the cliffs.
I'm not a fan of any of that. Let some seasoned pro take care of that. And so what I remember is in Kotor, they have like one of those walled cities, and it's very, to me, reminiscent of Robin Hood. And it's just, it's got that very, I think the city itself, you know, goes back as far as the 1100s.
And the cell was rather Venetian, Italianate, I think it was owned by Venice at some point.
Oh, yeah, no, I think at some point. And so it was, it's just interesting and charming and beautiful. And we stayed at this great hotel that was actually built within the wall of the walled city. And so, you know, you can expect sort of like long, narrow corridors to kind of go along with sort of like long, narrow hotel rooms. But that said, it was really interesting. And there was this woman who we started describing, you know, she's like, oh, why are you visiting Montenegro? And her English wasn't particularly good.
And she's a young woman, too.
She was young. And she was just very, very charming and cute and sweet and all of those kinds of things that, you know, of a person that you want to meet from the other side of the world. And when we started just talking about the weddings, she got so enthusiastic that I just kind of blurted out and I said, oh, then you need to do this. And she sort of burst into tears and ran out of the room.
Yeah.
And then when she came back, and I mean, still like, I mean, it was kind of, she's sort of like all welled up. And I mean, I still don't understand that level. I'm a boy, so I don't always understand that level of sort of emotion that happens like that. But to me, it was like, oh, you're an obvious choice. Why wouldn't we want somebody so passionate and enthusiastic about love where we should have that? We want that in our wedding. Because, you know, so much of it is, I mean, don't get me wrong, the travel is fantastic and I love it. And it's really sort of, it's just part of taking this love fest and doing something, I think, remarkable with it. Because, you know, we've used words like fun and amazing, but those are the worst adjectives of all time. Really why we get married, and we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating, that the idea of getting married is sort of like about creating a sacred thing between two people. And the vows are absolutely about, right, this is the reasons why I'm with you. I want to spell that out. I want to talk about the things that I love about the other person. I want to talk about the things that are meaningful, because it's easy enough to come home and then you go to work and you do your job and you do the things that are, you know, it's part and parcel of your life. And then all of a sudden the relationship becomes second place to work and sometimes family life just as a whole. And you forget this other person that you made this sort of like, you know, I use the word sacred a lot because it's a word that we don't use. And I want to use it because I want my wife to know that the relationship isn't merely something that's done out of convenience because it's easy, because it's amazing or fun. It's because it's special and important. And of all the people that I choose, this is the person that I'm choosing. So it needs to be simply more than a friendship, more than just sort of like, oh, you're cute. That's good enough for me. High five.
Well, I mean, you think about it and just the very notion that we made a decision that I choose you over every other person on the planet, and I continue to choose you over every other person on the planet, is, it's just a wild, drastic thing that we've done as human beings.
Oh, I mean, just picking one?
Yeah, getting married to me is like, talk about a grand gesture.
Yeah, no, I think it's an important thing to consider. So, you know, so anyway, if you've been listening up to this point, we say it's fun and amazing, like put red lines, red X's through those words.
And Devin is also a writing coach, by the way.
Yeah, and use this other stuff that we've been saying to kind of show its import. And so are we still in Montenegro?
Yeah, we're still in Montenegro. And by the way, it's this beautiful medieval, I think formerly some sort of coach house that now is their grand hotel, and it had a knight suit, that's that shining armor,
right, but without a knight inside,
without the knight inside of it.
Yes, it was a suit of armor like leaning on the side of a wall at the entrance of this really, I mean, I think the hotel was a place to live since like the 1500s or 1600s. So it was an old place, and it was beautiful and beautifully kept up. And it had this suit of armor. I don't know why that suit of armor was there, but in fact, it was there.
Maybe it was there to let us know that you were going to be knighted a few weddings later.
Indeed. And that's a story we're going to save and okay. savor for a later moment. But to go back to Montenegro, what I liked about it, it was an incredibly, and we'll start talking more about the wedding in a couple mm-hmm. minutes, but it was really flat, really walkable, really friendly. And it's one of those places, like I said, you know.
Flat, but with Montenegro means black mountains. So it whipped underneath
the city,
these very droop. The city's flat, but the mountains are dramatic.
Oh, yeah. No, that's for sure. But I'm just talking about, like, if you're in the city center, you know, like in
and
my
lots
wife,
of cats.
Well, there's always lots of cats. Like Morgana was bringing up earlier about going to Lisbon. Lisbon's an amazing city, and expect hills everywhere. That's not a walkable city if you're not ready to do some serious, you know, like everything is kind of a hike. It's worth the hike and it's doable. Like we lived and we're middle-aged people, but there are cities that are like just flat. You know, this is a flat city that you can explore without having to worry too much about dragging, you know,
suitcases
oxygen everywhere where you go.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of where I was going.
And there was a wedding, right?
I'm sorry?
There was a wedding.
There was a wedding. But, did you want to get there? You seem to be in a rush.
I'm always in a rush.
I know. And we have an hour.
Okay.
We have an hour. But that said,
but
let's get to the wedding.
We do have other things to cover, yeah.
Because we have other things. And my wife wants us to, she's had enough of the travel. Yeah. The fun, sexy part of the.
We talked about cats. We talked about buildings. We talked about the mountains. There's also some water. Because it's a bay.
Indeed. It's a fjord.
Right.
It is a fjord. So we showed up in the rain, and it was a drizzling, rainy day from the bus station.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's beautiful. So we got there, and so that nice lady, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but she married us in front of the suit of armor, and we didn't have enough. I didn't have the brains to, because we recorded it and we pointed the camera at her, but I didn't have enough brains to kind of get the suit of armor and sort of like the wider scope. I somehow took a picture of her in front of a wall.
That's, oh, anybody who wants to see the video of like our first 11 weddings crammed into a really cute 3-minute video, go to crazysexymidlifelove.com and you can see it all there. Okay. Including this wedding. And she is so cute and so funny.
She is cute and funny.
Yeah.
But I don't think she meant to be.
Yeah.
I think she's just that sort of charming lady, funny, all that kind of great stuff.
Well, that's why we love travel. People are fundamentally friendly.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And everybody loves love.
Who doesn't love love? And she cries when she hears about it, that nice lady.
Right.
And so what we ended up doing.
Oh, we have a call.
We have a call.
We'll have to finish the story later.
All right. Remember that we were talking about Montenegro. And
Montenegro.
I'm going to start right from the beginning. Because I know that my wife is in a rush. All right. So is Ken online too?
We're ready for you, Ken.
Hi. So. Met Morgana, very friendly person, very wise too, and very just good at being straightforward when you ask her for help on things and in situations. Yeah, she actually was very patient with me when I had to last second cancel one of our calls because I had some scare, and she has been very supportive to me here as I'm making this recovery.
So you're telling me, Ken, that I picked well.
I am, yeah.
I'm a lucky guy. Thank you for pointing that out. Anyway, were you just calling to say hi, or was there anything in particular we could help you with?
Well, I mean, I don't have a lot of time here today, but just been wondering before I let this slip my mind. Is it considered a good move to lift up your woman while making out or no?
Lift her up? I don't want to get too graphic here. Do you mean carry her over the altar, lift her up when you're kissing?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would honestly, I think it's one of those conversations, like there's a glib part of this, right? And I'm sure if I had a better punchline, I'd probably roll with the punchline. But I think the truth of the matter is these are the kinds of things that you want to ask her. In other words, you want to find out if because she may love being lifted. She may love it. But for whatever reason, another woman may say, that is not for me. That's too weird or overpowering. So I would probably go with, asking directly, like, I don't think I'm planning on lifting Morgana while we're kissing as much. So my lovely wife.
I would concur with my husband because, you know, every woman, every human being is different. And also things that look good in movies may not be as comfortable in real life. You don't know what her history is. It could actually trigger something. I think it's really sexy to ask somebody, would you like it if I? And
okay.
Yeah. So
yeah, I would also agree that a great many women that I've spoken to, not on this exact subject, but on similar types of subjects, because I think as guys that, you know, we go see a romantic comedy and some guy is hiding in a closet somewhere to spring out on a woman or something like that.
Oh, God, no.
But I think we're taught to make these really big overt gestures to sort of like profess our love. And we do it based on, oh, that seems like a great idea. Or I have this kind of nutty thing. Why don't I do this big overt thing without actually having a real understanding of how that'll be received by the person we're going to be doing it for? Now, that may nullify sort of the surprise aspect of it. And I think we do want, like, I think surprise flowers, unless, of course, we know that she's allergic, that's okay.
And you can find that. So what do you think of flowers? You know, you can.
Right. What are you allergic to?
Here's a checklist.
Right. Right. If flowers aren't on the list, then I think we're totally safe with flowers.
Yeah.
But I think if we are going into, I think stuff that deals with her physicality or putting her in a place where she may feel unsafe or insecure or whatever. And I also think, to take that to a next level, I think some of these things change dramatically once you are further along in the relationship. Do you know what I mean? I think once the woman knows and has your trust because you've earned it, I think you can then sort of maybe push the envelope a little bit.
Well, and this reminds me, Devin and I are taking West Coast Swing dance classes online because we were taking them in person and then COVID changed things. And one of our dance teachers was answering a question on the Zoom class with all the different students about competition because she and her partner are two of the biggest award-winning swing dance competitors in the world. And she was talking about when she's dancing with a new partner in a competition, how she wants them to start out really slow and do really, really easy basic steps so that they can find out where her balance is, how she dips, how she does different things before they break out into the fancy moves. And if they start with the fancy moves, she feels like this person is overstepping, like trying to get to the finish line or get to marriage on a first date. So I agree with Devin, like save some of those moves for a little down the line when both of you really dig each other and know each other, and then maybe you want to play with some stuff.
Can I ask you, Ken, have you been dating her for quite a while? Is this further along in the relationship?
No. I'm not really out there right now, especially.
Oh, okay.
after all things with COVID and everything. I wish I had more time to stay on, so I'll have to call into a future call here for sure. But nonetheless, definitely got to talk to Morgana again later. Is that how you say it, or Morgana?
Morgana, but either one is fine. If you get all the letters right, I'm happy.
Yeah, that's good. And so I guess we'll just have to talk again, but no matter what, I will always be out there for the people.
I appreciate it,
thank
Ken.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, and have a great day.
Bye.
You too, bye.
Okay, so we pull up, and it is drizzling in Montenegro.
In Montenegro, yeah.
And I want to tell this story in fine, fine detail.
Oh.
Because I know that my wife is going to want to move on to another segment, which is an idea that has been percolating, that we should be moving from one topic to another topic rather than just talking about some one thing. But so, so there we are. And we're getting married by this lovely woman next to a suit of armor. And at some point, without us knowing, or at least without me knowing it, all the women who were the house cleaning crew of this fantastic old place, and they kind of had like, what do I want to say? It was like a uniform, but it wasn't like a traditional house cleaning uniform type of thing. It was sort of like house cleaning from the 1600s uniform. And at some point I looked over and they were all sort of lined up as our audience. And I just remember thinking, this is like, what a great little moment that we're sharing here. And at some point, what did she say? She said to me, "You may now kiss your husband."
Yes.
Because her English It was so sweet. And she did. Matter of fact, at some point, because I asked her to marry us, and obviously she did. After we went out and explored the town, we saw her later that day, and she gave us something.
That she gave me a wreath. She went down to a bridal shop and came back with this beautiful wreath with silk flowers and said to me, "Please wear this and get married somewhere romantic." And I was so touched by that completely generous, unnecessary, loving gesture. And I did. I wore it and got married in really beautiful, romantic places.
I think part of it is because a lot of people have really showcased, like, I think when you get married, it's sort of like having a new baby. There's just all of this potential. And so when you get married, I think people see it as like, oh, love. We want to support this idea of love. And so people kind of go out of their way to sort of like, what can we do for you? I mean, I definitely don't want to take advantage of that.
No,
but
it's,
people are great.
And stuff like that would happen a lot, and we never asked, and it's just people are so kind, and then it feels like we have our family in every country. We have our Bosnia family, we have our Croatia family, we have our Turkish family, our Balinese family, several Mexican families, you know, just with every, because we kept getting married.
We kept getting
married in Mexico. And American families, our Texas family, we have our Canadian family, you know, just.
Right.
Because it is a really intimate moment.
Yeah. And we still haven't really, I mean, we've gotten married here. We got married here and it really was sort of like, you know, married at the courthouse. Ironically, the woman who ended up marrying us is a judge, but she is one of my best friends. His son is best friends and the mother is the judge. And so we ended up kind of keeping it in the family just by this really long shot. And she was like, "I never do this, but here I am." And we just got talking. And then we had a picnic every September. One of my best friends has sort of like a softball picnic at a park. And the mom showed up, i.e. the judge, and came running up and gave us hugs and kisses.
Happy coincidence.
Yeah.
Also, when you get married overseas, it usually doesn't count in the States. So we got married in the same not glamorous Norwalk courthouse where Angelina Jolie and all these other you know, celebrities who have their, you know, beautiful fairy tale weddings overseas. And then you come back to the States and you go to the courthouse and you make it legal.
I guess. No, but you can totally get legal weddings. As a matter of fact, let me just say something before we move on to the segment that my wife is just dying to get to, is that most countries allow you to get legally married. In other words, if you get married in, you know, a Caribbean country, as an example, it is set up so you can, in fact, have that wedding be recognized in the U.S. There are typically a great many rules surrounding that. And some of the sort of standard ones are that you have to apply in person a month in advance. And I'm sure their hope is that you will be living in said country for a month. And there's all kinds of different forms and certainly fees and things like that. Many, like a marriage license and things like that. For the most part, it's probably less than $200 per couple. And then, of course, just to kind of give you an idea, a lot of the weddings that you can do, even though it's a little bit of a logistical headache, depending on from country to country, tend to be far cheaper.
Oh, my God.
You can get married at a nice resort in Mexico for, I think, something like $1,200, and it'll have the flowers, and it'll have all the cakes, and it'll have all the stuff that you want. It just won't be at a U.S.
It's like the price of a cake in the U.S.
Right.
Before the cutting fee.
Exactly. Before the cutting fee. That's how much it costs to cut the cake. I couldn't believe that. So I'm going to talk about that for a second,
all
too.
All right.
So when the first time I got married, I remember
To somebody else.
I apologize.
A lovely woman.
A really great woman. A terrific woman. We were looking for a place to get married, and they said, we were standing in this, it was a beautiful place, and it overlooked the water, and it had all those magical vibes that, you know, that I think people want. And as we were talking about the cake, which of course they said, oh yes, of course, a 3-layer cake, of course it's going to, you know, and she gave us this absurd price. And then she said, you do know that it's $3 to cut the cake. And I thought, my response was $3 to cut a cake. $3, that just seems like a petty price. Why would you charge $3? We're spending, you know, thousands of dollars potentially at this facility. Why bother charging somebody for $3? And then my wife-to-be at the time said, oh, no, she meant $3 a slice. And I'm a pretty easygoing guy. And I remembered standing up and saying obscenities because I had no choice but to share obscenities.
In all fairness, you've seen me try to cut a cake.
Yeah, that does not.
That's why we need a professional.
My response after I calm down is that you just give everybody a knife and they will cut their own slice. Because we're going to get the first slice anyway. So let's give them their $6 for the two pieces. Uh-huh. And then everybody else can figure out their own slices of cake.
That sounds fair.
All right. So have we covered Montenegro?
Yes.
I feel we haven't. But please go ahead.
Well, we can come back to
We'll have to.
I saw a post in one of my Facebook groups from a woman who, and this is why I thought we should talk about how to bring more fun and connection into your love life, especially during COVID. So I was reading this post, and her husband's going through a hard time. I think maybe lost his job because of COVID, and he's depressed. And she wants to keep her own spirits up and be available to her husband. And when a guy's depressed, he has less capacity to be present. So I wanted to find out, what would you recommend? Because you see the guy's point of view. Like, what would you recommend to her?
Well, you know, what is her goal? Is her goal that she wants him to not feel what he's feeling?
I think it's painful for her. I think that she wants to help. And she doesn't want to get sucked down too, because then she's less helpful. So she, it's kind of a combination of how can she be helpful to him and also get her needs met, and projecting myself from my own experiences. And how can she stay connected to him?
Right. I mean, I do. I probably have a much, I may have a stronger, not soft way to look at this.
And well, so I wanted to ask, because I knew that whatever you said would be different than me and probably surprising to me. And I like that.
Well, okay. So what you just said, I obviously, if she were here, I would probably ask a whole slew of questions.
And by the way, if she is here and listening, you know, and you just, we invite you, call in 888-627-6008. I hope I got the number right last time. 888-627-6008 and ask yourself, and I apologize if I didn't convey it accurately.
I think you did great.
All right, thanks.
So what was the question again?
I think based on what I recall of her question was, her husband's in a difficult place. She wants to know how to support him and also take care of herself.
Right. And that's a challenging thing. In other words, you can be of service, but soon as it's, but what about me? That's the part that becomes the gray area. Because, well, really what I'm hoping to do is I'm hoping to fix him so it doesn't bother me. That's the way I hear it. And that could very well be her helping, maybe causing, again, I don't know enough about it, so I'm projecting all kinds of stuff on top of this. What I can say is that men sort of, I believe, this is my humble opinion, and of course there's always outliers, but the men that I know and the men that I've worked with tend to want to have sort of like a timeout. That means they need to go off and stand in the garage for 4 hours or play a video game or do some sort of a mindless thing where they don't necessarily have to be present. They don't have to worry about fixing a problem because, you know, to be quite honest with you, and I'm sure you understand this, a lot of men want to fix problems. That's kind of one of the things that I think we're good at. We want to jump in. And if it's two men and one person has a problem, the other guy's going to have a whole slew of, well, do this and do this and do this and do this. And so a guy will probably go into the other room and ruminate it. And it may take a while. And if he's depressed, this might be something that be a long term. I mean, I think you start with, hey, honey, I'm seeing that you're not feeling well. You know, what can I do? That's always a great starting point. And maybe the answer is nothing. It may be about patience. The rub, of course, is, but she wants to kind of get what she wants at the same time. And that's the trickier part.
Well, let's say she's really good at giving him space. But here's what would concern me. What if this goes on for 8 months or a year? There can feel like a disengagement in the relationship. I think that can be dangerous for the relationship if there is a lack of connection for a really long time. So what you're describing for weeks, not that uncomfortable, but when it goes on for months, right, they can drift apart.
No, and absolutely. And that is certainly a fear. And I think that's part of a conversation. Honey, you know, I am worried about you. It's been going on for months. What can I do? How can I help? Where can we move forward? And it might be, honey, you're, you know, this long-term thing, because at some point when you're dealing with depression and you're dealing with chronic kinds of things that are psychological, I think you have to start seeking advice of a third party, mm-hmm. people who are trained professionals and these kinds of things to help you work through whatever those issues are. And sometimes it's chemical, and you have to embrace the idea that even if I really want to be well, and if my partner really wants me to be well, doesn't necessarily mean I have the capacity all by myself to manifest wellness. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It may be something that's bigger, and that's why we have therapists, and that's why we have people to talk to make sure that sort of like, oh, I have a measure of sadness doesn't become something more extreme.
What would you say to the guy?
What would I say to the guy? You've got a woman who loves you, and I think you need to start, even if you're uncomfortable, I think it would probably serve you to kind of, even if it's, an hour a day or 20 minutes a day, that you kind of say, even if I'm not feeling well, that I take action for this other person, if nothing else, to just, understand that you don't want this person drifting away from you. Again, this goes back to what I was talking about earlier in the show when we talk about ideas of sacredness, right? It's easy to all of a sudden be wrapped up in, I'm feeling terrible, and now I have a rationalization. I have a justification for saying, but I need to go take care of myself, and then I'm just going to kind of ignore this other person.
Yeah.
So if we create a space between the two people that this is about our sacredness, and we make commitments to the idea of how to support that measure of stuff, but at the end of the day, it really is, it's the onus of the other person. Like if I'm feeling blue, at some point I can feel blue for most of the day, but I still have to have a commitment to you as my partner.
Yeah.
I have to have a commitment as a father to my daughter, or a commitment to my mother as a son. And as I take those things as being sacred, I have to create time to make sure that the key and important people in my life are still being supported as best I could, even if I don't have much to give.
And here would be my advice to the woman. If your partner is feeling like a loser and a failure and discouraged in the moment, which is usually what human beings feel like when we're depressed, especially with a guy, because men tend to be raised to be achievement oriented, I would strongly encourage you to make it easy for your husband to win, to not make marriage and pleasing you another failure on a long list of failures, but to really to keep making gestures of love and appreciation and really giving him wins, just like if he kisses you or anything that he does, I think for yourself, magnify it for yourself, appreciate it, let him know. We have different love languages. I love words of affirmation and touch. So, saying something to me or touching me makes my world okay. Find out what his love language is and let him know that he's loved. And it really helps if he can feel like this is not a problem too, then it's less for him to dig himself out of. Does that make, what do you think of that, Devin?
Yeah, no, I think that's all great stuff. I mean, I think the important thing to know on either side, regardless of whether it is a partner who is sort of like, feeling it, so to speak, or whether it is the other person who is feeling sort of ignored because this other person is having challenges, is that really at some point you have to decide whether or not you're going to be a good relationship partner, whether or not the commitments you've made to yourself and to your partner have meaning, right? And part of the way that you do that is manifesting them. I think I could still feel terrible and go out and buy flowers. I think you, I could still go out and do all that kind of stuff, but it's going to be part of, you know, like I have to just realize that's part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I may not want to, I may, and one other thing is that while a lot of men, not all men, but a lot of men do like to sort of have their man cave, I say that in air quotes, the truth of the matter is isolating is also a really challenging thing. If you start isolating, that's where all the, you know, I think you start developing thoughts and your mind starts running amok. I think what we do overall is we need people in our lives. And so, you know, for me, I know that if I'm isolating too much, even if I like a certain measure of solitude, that I still need, I need my community. I need my people. I need my posse. And so, even if I'm not feeling well, I want to make sure that I check in with my wife. I want to make sure that I check in with guys that I know and trust. And if I don't have that, then it becomes important to sort of make sure that I'm just not merely isolating to kind of stick my head in the sand and to kind of separate myself, where that's really where, you know, some negative things can start really dwelling and manifesting.
Yeah. So for the wife or either partner, because, you know, we take turns. Somebody's great and somebody is having challenge. It's, you know, that that is partnership. But, you know, for the person who's in the better place, yeah, double, triple, quadruple and more down on self-care and, you know, healthy habits for your own happiness so that your well stays full, because you're kind of filling a well for both of you right now. So demand less of your partner when he has less to give. And I would also say really stay very frequent and consistent in love gestures. You know, bringing the coffee, saying thank you, smiling, blowing kisses, stroking hair, touching. So like gift giving, touching, language of affirmation, the different love languages. Studies have shown that it's that frequency of these love gestures are what determine the long-term success of the relationship. So keep those going and just need a little less and understand that your partner's capacity is diminished temporarily. But I think it's also really important to believe in your partner. This has gotten a little heavy, not as much on the fun side as I intended.
Where was that going to be fun? Where was
sorry,
this...
I just thought it was important. You know?
I think we should totally. But that's why I want to make sure we're talking about some travel, too. So when we get serious, you know, we have to embrace the fact that the whole point of the show is we have, you know, fun.
Well, fun. And
so, yes. Yeah, so going
touch
back,
each other a lot.
Catch him doing something nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Catch him doing good things, because it's really easy to point out all of the stuff, especially if somebody's sort of like distracted and distant. And it, you know, more the, I think perhaps one of the most important things I would say to this woman is that it isn't personal. In other words, it's almost certainly he's not doing it to punish her. He's doing it because he's where he's at and he may not know how to express it. He may not even know what it is, you know. And then, of course, if you're dealing with something that, that might be chemical, you know, a chemical imbalance in somebody, you know, and it could be from, you know, one of a thousand things. That's not my specialty. But I think it's important that if it goes on, if it persists, to make sure that you seek help.
We still have our top five list. We're running late because we spent so much time on Montenegro, Devin.
That was a great place. And I'm happy to talk about Montenegro.
Okay, so
first off, it was raining when we
Stop it. We're almost out of time.
So, talking about... Now you
restoring...
want, I know what's going to happen. You want to run through this list in like 1 second.
I do, because
no, we're
running out of,
we're,
I'm not even showing you the list. So, because I added stuff to it, but I did want to say something about one of the reasons we renew vows, at least from my perspective, is it renews that dreamy quality of when you first fell in love. You're dreaming about the relationship. When things become roommates instead of lovers, it's like the dreaminess is gone, and it's just who's going to take out the trash, who's going to pick up the kids, and don't forget your mask. So for romance, we need to go back into that dreaminess, and that's true for men who are just as into fantasy as women. And when you renew your vows, you're like dreaming new. You're dreaming again. What is why I choose you? Why I'm in love with you? What is my dream for the future? So we are going to share our top five tips for renewing wedding vows.
I have, by the way, I haven't even heard these tips. Wrote three or two of them.
You wrote three and I added two because that makes five.
Well, okay. So we have just a few minutes left. I think what we should do
is talk about Montenegro.
I think we should talk about Montenegro. No, we can talk about the concept of five tips, but I think all we can do is discuss one.
Well, we can because share them, right?
No, why would we? Why? I think people
because
need
I
to
promised.
Be, I don't know if you did.
Did
you?
Did
was it
top.
A promise?
Yes, I did.
I think we could just do one and discuss the one, and then we've created a cliffhanger.
Okay,
a cliffhanger
we'll see.
Let's start with number one.
Let's start.
Okay,
with
what was the
one.
Question again?
Top five tips for renewing wedding vows.
I know we could do one a week. All right, let's start with one.
Make a list and verbalize the things you appreciate and admire about your partner. Things you admire about your partner as a human being and as your partner in life and love.
Wow, that I wrote that, but
no, I wrote it.
It was my idea, but you completely rewrote it.
No, your stuff is still exactly as you wrote, and it none of them say that. I can read all five and let our listeners decide.
No, it's too late. No, time is marching. Time is marching. Okay, so wait. So make a list. I think making a list of the things that you love about the person you're marrying is actually really crucial for obvious reasons. But while not only does it reinforce what you know about your partner, right? Because if things happen where all of a sudden you forget this list, you want to have a list to remind you all of all these great things that this person is. And I think that's really important, not only for yourself, but to make sure that your partner knows that you see these wonderful qualities in them. It's empowering and it makes somebody else feel really good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Did you have more to add on that? Because you wrote other stuff as a human being and this other stuff. 90 seconds.
90 seconds. Well, I will say that Devin is so good at this, by the way, because it really does affect me deeply that I always make him go first because we don't write any of these lists. At least I don't. If Devin has, he did it on the sly. So this is not one of the five tips, but I'm sneaking it anyway.
Is this 1A?
Yes, 1A is make the person who's best at it go first because it will inspire partner B. So Devin has a knack for saying vows that touch me really, really deeply and improve, like raise the game on my vows.
All right. Okay.
Make it a competition.
I think that's fair enough. So that is we just had a 1A bonus moment.
Make your wedding vows a competition. Outlove the other person.
Which one is that?
I just made that up.
Okay. So this is a 1B is what's taking place. Okay. So going back to, just to say this again, make a list and verbalize the things you appreciate and admire about your partner as a human being and your partner in life and love. That is so complicated.
Yes, I wrote it. So we are wrapping up. You're listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love Talk Radio. You can see the 3-minute compilation of a bunch of our weddings at Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. You can download Devin's ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Marriage-Minded Tips other secrets marriage-minded women need to know for free at crazysexymidlifelove.com. And we will be back in 2 weeks to talk about love and travel and whatever you have to ask. Mwah, namaste. Have a great love life.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.